Happy New Year, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to January the 1st, 2001. Who would have ever thought that I would have lived as long to see it? I can remember many years ago seeing the movie 2001 and thinking how far into the future that was. And it really turned out not to be so far in the future after all. I'm only 57 years old, and theoretically, if Uncle Sam doesn't get to me first, I could live to be a very old man, although I'm not too thrilled about that. I sort of like the old Native American custom of when you get too old and you get to be a burden on other people and you can't take care of yourself, you go out into the wilderness and you find a beautiful place to watch the sunrise and the sunset and you sit down and wait to die. And I just might, when I feel that way, if I ever feel that, I just might do that. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful tradition. And after all, I am part Native American, and so that has a pretty good appeal to me. I like that, and it goes along with my whole philosophy in general, in that we should never allow ourselves to become victims. We should not look to someone else to take care of us. And if we find ourselves in a position where we're down and out and we need some help, it should come from the community and only for as long as it takes us to get back on our feet, period. Period. End of subject. No argument at all. And we should be responsible for ourselves. We should be law-abiding people. And I know that some of you are writing me, what do you mean law-abiding people? You got warrants out for your arrest and... you're ignoring those. Well, I'm standing on the law. If you've been to the website, you know I've challenged them, sued them, in fact, and was winning in court. And the only reason they issued these warrants, the only reason they went to a grand jury to get indictments against me and my wife was to stop the lawsuit that we had against them because they were losing. They'd perjured themselves at least twice, could not produce the documentation that I was suing to get. And so they did what they always do. They cheated. They lied. They performed treasonous acts. They were subversive in the law. They're scum-sucking, puke-faced, lying, Nazi, communist bastards is what they are. And so I'm still here. I'm up on this hill. I'm no fugitive. See, they thought I would run, and then they would have the moral high ground, because then they could say, well, he's running away from prosecution. Not at all. I'm right here. I'm standing on the law. I've challenged them to answer my questions, and they won't do it. They can't do it. There are no answers for my questions. And so the people in this town, in this county, when they come to try to get them, enlist their aid to come after me, they say, well, why don't you answer his questions? Why don't you, give me the answers? And they can't do it. And so they have to run away with their tail between their legs, slinky, little cowardly, stinking, rotten traitors is what they are. You see, the people who work for the federal government and perform these tasks on behalf of the government are miserable, rotten little Marxist socialist cowards. The only reason they're doing it, because they can't come up with the answers either, is because they don't want to do anything to jeopardize their retirement. So they would allow me to be murdered on behalf of their retirement or thrown in some dungeon somewhere to rot for the rest of my life, and my wife also. They would relegate our children to perpetual foster homes and psychiatric brainwashing because simply because they were the children of a great American patriot. Their little brains would be destroyed. That's why I sent my wife and my children out of the country, because I know how these puke-faced Nazi bastards operate. And the only reason they issued a warrant for my wife's arrest was to try to get to me through her by... And that's what Filler Up was trying to come up the mountain that day to do, when he had this, oh, this, I just have, this is a personal letter from me to you. Bullshit. You lying. Where did they find these guys? I didn't accept it, friend, but I know what was in it. It was, Bill, I'm on your side. I really think you're a great patriot too, you know? But, you know, why should you and your wife have to suffer? You know, if you'll agree to cooperate with us and help make this a better nation and a better world, we'll drop all the charges against your wife, and after you've helped us for 3 or 4 years, then we'll drop the charges against you. All you have to do is turn traitor, turncoat, and informant against all of the people that you're working with in the Patriot movement. Agent Steve, fill her up, you can kiss my ass. On Main Street at high noon, you chicken, cowardly, rotten, subversive, stinking, Nazi, traitorous little bastard. All of you. And here we go into a new year with a new administration in Washington, D.C., and everybody is feeling confident that things are going to be different. No. We're just going to take another road to the same goal, a new world totalitarian socialist order. I think it's absolutely amazing that conservatives and patriots throughout this country listened to George W. Bush throughout his campaign, supposedly standing up for the principles and ideals upon which this nation was founded, supposedly a conservative, supposedly a Republican. And the only things that he campaigned upon were exactly the same issues that Gore campaigned upon. And Bush wants to do exactly the same thing, except in a little different way. He wants to give everybody everything to buy their vote. And he's going to have to come across with those things, because he promised them. And it's pure socialism. The only thing he promised that was any good at all was a major tax cut, and we'll see how that progresses. His father said the same thing. No more taxes. And what did he do? He raised taxes. And I'll bet you Bush is going to do the same thing. You'll see. You'll see, folks. If he doesn't raise taxes, I don't think he's going to give us the great big tax cut that he promised. You'll see. You see, there's all kinds of roads to Rome. You can be anywhere in Europe, and you can take 100 different routes and still get to Rome. Well, Gore was going to take us one direction, one way, the shortest way, the quickest way that there was. Bush, he's going to give us the tour. He's going to take us through all the little towns and villages and crossroads and tour spots and hiking trails and all that kind of stuff. But we're still going to end up in Rome. Bet on it. Bet on it, folks. I hope you're all utilizing the website as your primary news source. I still have some non-believers out there. They send me emails with news stories in them, thinking that I don't know anything about those news stories, and they've been on the website for days. Days. See, they make the mistake of searching the internet for news stories and then send me the news stories that they find. That's really not too smart, because if they just went to our webpage first, they would find all of the news up to date, firsthand, right there, before they find them anywhere else, except for some stories that need to be checked out. There are some stories that we don't post. Even though we know about them, we don't post them until we check them out, because we don't want to lead you astray. Anything that we can check out really quick goes up on the website. And generally, it's on our website for days before you even know about it. It's amazing how that works. And our exclusives you will not find anywhere. And our columnist, we actually have two columnists, me and Diane Alden. Diane Alden has come of age. She's grown up. She's a leader in the ideal of America. And if you're not reading her column on our website every day, then you're missing out. And she doesn't write a new column every day. I mean, the same column might be there for several days before it changes. But when you read it, you'll know why. She puts a lot of research and work into her columns. And believe me, they're worth reading and paying attention. She is a patriot leader. When I confronted her with that fact, she said, "Oh my gosh, I'm not a leader. I don't even know how to be a leader." I said, "Diane, my dear Diane, without even realizing it, you have become a leader, and you don't even know that it's happened because the principles and ideals and the words that you write in your column are leading people to certain conclusions, to change their minds about things, to rethink their lives. And if that's not a leader, I don't know what is." Benjamin Franklin, if you had told him back during his heyday that he was some kind of a leader, he would have poo-pooed the whole idea. But now we recognize him as not only a leader, but one of the greatest geniuses who ever lived, and one of the founding fathers of this nation. Well, I sort of look at Diane Alden in that way. And some people look at me in that way. And some of us, all of us, look at others in that way. But I got to tell you, if you're not patronizing our website, WilliamCooper.com, you're missing out on a world of news and original thought and a way of looking at things that you've never thought of before. And if you don't have a computer, you better get one, because I'm telling you right now, just like before the printing press, that's the way you're looking at computers. You're saying, there's nothing to this printing press. I'm not going to go buy none of them books. Folks, books opened up the world of knowledge to the common man. Gave the common man the Bible for the first time in history. Well, the internet and computers are doing the same thing on a much grander scale than you could ever imagine. It also opens your mind up to a lot more brainwashing and bullshit and lies and disinformation and all kinds of things. So you have to be much more discerning on the internet than you ever were before. But when you really sit down and think about it, the library is the same way. When you go in there, there's books that tell the truth. There's books that tell lies. There's books that are full of disinformation. There's books that have combination of truth and lies. And you had to be able to discern what the truth was from all of the stuff that was there for you to read. Well, the internet's the same way. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, just because it's on a website does not mean it's the truth. Just because it's in a news article does not mean it's the truth. Just because it's printed in a book does not make it the truth. And because it's printed in a newspaper especially doesn't make it the truth. And because Dan Rather says it, or Ted Copulate, or, any of those other talking fools, does not at all make it the truth. Just because it's on television doesn't make it the truth. Because you hear it on a radio talk show does not make it the truth, and especially if it comes from somebody that's calling in from the listening audience, because 99.9% of all of those calls are nothing but spreading rumor.
and most of you listening to this broadcast know that that's true. We're going in to a new millennium, and this is the first day of the new millennium. The third millennium, if you want to know the truth, since the birth of Christ. The first day of the third millennium since the birth of Christ. Well, some of you are probably sitting out there, oh, no, that was January 1st, the year 2000. I'm sorry, but you're wrong. There was no year zero. There was no year zero. So January the 1st, 2000 was really the last beginning of the last year of the second millennium since the birth of Christ. And since nobody knows the exact year that Christ was born, we're off. We could be off by as much as 4 or 5 years. Most historians will agree, though, and most theologians will agree that we're off probably by about 4 years. They believe that Jesus was actually born probably in 4 BC. And there's other people who will disagree with that. And I'm not taking a stance. What I'm saying is the true millennium, the true date of the beginning of this millennium, if you're measuring from the birth of Jesus, could be off by as many as 4 or 5 years. So this may not be the beginning of the real millennium at all. But it is, according to the accepted calendar, this today is the first day of the third millennium. 2001. Actually, 2,000 years since the birth of Christ. But in our calendar, it is the year 2001. And that date, because of Arthur C. Clarke's and writings and Stanley Kubrick's motion picture, 2001, has a pretty strong psychological impact upon an awful lot of people. 2001, can you imagine that? Are there going to be some great discoveries during this year? Is there going to be some manipulation of the minds of the world concerning alien intelligence? And I'm not talking about great wizards from Mexico. I'm talking about extraterrestrial life from out there in the stars somewhere. Are they going to try to hoax us and make us believe that we're being visited by somebody from some other solar system so far away that it would take them hundreds of years just to get here? By any kind of physics that we have any knowledge of? And there'll be somebody who'll call in and say, oh yeah, they're using the space-time warp. And I say, how do you know? Oh, well, you know, Bob Lazar told me. Is there any basics to that physics? Well, there's a theory that says it might be true. But has anybody ever done it? Well, the aliens have done it. Really? Do you know any aliens? No. Well, how do you know they've done it? Well, because they're visiting us. How do you know they're visiting us? Well, because people are being abducted. How do you know they're being abducted? And so on and so forth until it gets ad nauseum and you just want to throw up all over the place and go, blah! Makes you sick. Just absolutely makes, it's the biggest hoax in the history of the world. I'm not kidding you, folks. Even if there are aliens out there in space somewhere, I guarantee you they're not visiting this earth. Not now, not ever, never have, never will. There's no reason for them to in the first place. In fact, if you sit down and think about it, they'd absolutely be the stupidest, dumbest race in the universe to want to come here and risk being infected with our brand of stupidity. Because and especially, you know, if they were, as people claim that they are, and nobody even knows that they exist, so how does anybody know that they are? But if they are, as people claim they are, if they even exist at all, they wouldn't want a damn thing to do with us. That's a fact. January 1st, 2001, the actual first day of the third millennium since the birth of Jesus. Now, if you're an atheist, or if you're Jewish, or if you're Buddhist, or if you're somebody like that, don't call in and say,
well, why are you measuring since the birth of Jesus?
Well, I'm not. Society as a whole, in fact, the whole world measures since the birth of Jesus. That's the way the calendar is, and that's why we're doing it. And that's because, for a time, Jesus was the greatest influence over the whole of the earth, as a matter of fact. Whether you like it or not, whether you believe in him or not, doesn't make any difference at all. It just happens to be the truth, what I just told you. And that's another reason why all those of you sit around, I'm just one lonely, helpless person. What can I do? You lose all your credibility in the face of the fact that we measure our entire calendar from the birth of one lonely, helpless little man who never raised a finger against anybody except a bunch of money changers in the temple, never really said a bad word against anybody except a fig tree, cursed that sucker just almost right out of existence, was arrested and executed for no reason whatsoever. And the whole world has paid him the honor of measuring time from his birth, backwards and forward. And you're going to come up to me and say, I'm just one lonely little helpless person. I don't have no money and I wasn't educated and there's nothing I can do. Hey, Jesus didn't go to Harvard. Heck, he didn't even go to Long Beach City College. If you know what I mean. He was taught by his father how to be a carpenter. You know? How about that? Put that in your pipe and smoke it. I think too many of you are smoking pipes as it is, if you know what I mean. Your brain's not working. Isn't that something? The first day of the third millennium, January the 1st, 2001. Holy smokes. I think that is, it's got me a little bit amazed here. Because to tell you the truth, you know, and I already mentioned it, there was a time a long time ago when I saw that movie, 2001, and I just couldn't see myself living in this year. Seemed so far away. And the technology promised in that movie seemed so perfectly logical and within our grasp. And I think it might have been, and maybe has been realized, but in secret somewhere. Because if you look at the exponential increase in our level of knowledge and technology over the years, you'll find that right about the end of the 50s, the beginning of the 60s, a lot of research and development in certain specific areas actually came to a screeching halt. And I think that's because every new development in those areas was seized by the government, classified as top secret, and disappeared behind the veil of national security. And was further developed and worked on and became reality in secret. Oh, yes, I do. And there's a lot of other people who believe the same thing, just like me. Where do you think we're going? Now, I'm going to give you guys an opportunity to make some predictions, and I'm going to save this tape and save those predictions, and a year from now, if I'm still around on January the 1st, 2002, I'm going to play some of your predictions and see if they came true. So I'm going to open the phones now. I'm going to get your predictions of what you think is going to happen in the coming year. In the meantime, I'm going to give you my prediction while you're thinking about your predictions and getting ready to make your calls. Here's my prediction, and it's an immediate prediction. Because of the plethora, the massive attacks upon the citizens of Israel, the bombings in Israel, the attacks upon Jewish citizens that occurred yesterday and today, you're going to see a tremendous retaliation by the state of Israel. Just recently, most of the Arab states around the Gulf have entered into a mutual defense pact, which means if Israel attacks any one of them, all of the rest of them must come to the aid of that one and must retaliate in turn, which means there's going to be a tremendous escalation of the war in the Middle East. And no matter what happens, ladies and gentlemen, I predict that peace in the foreseeable future is absolutely out of the question because of the tremendous bombings and attacks and assassinations and the deaths that have occurred over the past 2 days in the state of Israel and to Jews worldwide. I'm not telling you that I believe that one or the other side is right or wrong, because it's gone beyond that point, and it went beyond that point many, many years ago. In my estimation, at this point, they're both wrong. Palestinians have a legitimate complaint and a legitimate gripe, but they have practiced acts of war and terrorism that have taken them from the moral high ground. They don't have the moral high ground anymore. Israel, in their response to these attacks, and their response to children throwing rocks, and their tremendous degree of overwhelming force that just murders and destroys settlements and civilians and children and women and whole communities, they've done the same thing. They've all lost the moral high ground. So I can't support either one of them, to tell you the truth. I just wish they'd both stop it. Go to bed. Sleep it off. Get up the next morning and do whatever it takes to make sure it doesn't happen anymore. But we all know that's not going to happen. And in light of what's happening in the Middle East and Israel over the last 2 days, yesterday and today, I'm telling you right now, the war in the Middle East is going to escalate. This is my prediction. Now, I'm not saying I'm guessing. I'm not saying it might happen. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. The war in the Middle East is going to escalate. Peace at this point is completely, totally, absolutely out of the question. Israel is going to mount tremendously terrible retaliatory attacks against the Palestinians and their Arab allies. The Arab states, because of their defense pact and because they're sick and tired of this stuff, are going to retaliate in turn, and the war is just going to escalate beyond what anybody, you know, we thought it was terrible before. Listen to me, folks. I hate to say this, and I wish it were not true, but you ain't seen nothing yet.
Never in human history has so few taken so much from so many as America's Illuminati and their warlords of Wall Street and Washington. In just 8 years, these banksters and international government gangsters took us from the greatest creditor nation to the largest debtor nation on earth. Our standard of living has dropped like a rock for 4 out of every 5 Americans. They have foreclosed on our homes, our farms, our factories. They've exported your jobs and surrendered our arms.
They want a new world order. A new world order. A new world order.
Illuminati wants you to get a slave.
Phones are open, folks. 520-333-4578. I want to hear your predictions for the coming year, and please don't echo mine. Don't call up and say, oh, I agree with you, Bill. I want to hear your predictions. What do you personally believe is going to happen in the next year? And how much would you bet on them coming through? Now, don't get worried now. I'm not going to call you on your bet. I just want to know how serious you are about what you're going to say. This is a day to look toward the future, so let's do it. 520-333-4578. What do you see for the coming year? What do you believe is going to happen? Are you optimistic about the new Bush administration in Washington, D.C.? What are you optimistic about? What are you pessimistic about? What do you feel is going to happen in the world? There's some rumblings going on. Russia is beginning to revert back to its old ways, and I predicted this along. That's another one of my predictions that's coming true. Remember, I told you that. So, phones are open, 520-333-4578. Let's hear from you. Last Thursday, by the way, WBCQ had transmitter problems, and they were off the air. That's why you didn't hear the Hour of the Time or any other program, for that matter. But you should be hearing us loud and clear tonight. Well, let's hear what you've got to say about the future. You have any future qualities? Can you make predictions? Have you thought about it? I want to hear from you right now. 520-333-4578. Oh, by the way,
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, folks.
To grovel on your knees. They want to vaccinate your child and give them the bark. They want to illuminate you and keep you in the dark. They want you to pay for it with plastic, surrender your soul. They want you under their thumb, under their control. They want it all.
Well, the phone's not ringing. That means that none of you have thought about the future, or you're scared to death to call, or you're all out busy doing something else, and if that's the case, I'm going to go to bed. And you know me, I will. If that phone doesn't start ringing right now, I'm going to bed. Isn't that amazing how that works? Good evening, you're on the air.
Yeah, good evening, Bill. This is Mike in LaBelle, Florida.
Hi, Mike.
I predict that it'll be the collapse of the world's big lie, which is the no money money system.
The no money money. So explain that. That's interesting. Explain
that. Well, the thing is it's never been considered money, which is the Federal Reserve no dollar system.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is over in Europe, the euro's not being taken on by the people because they're going back to honest weights and measures again.
Yeah, the euro's not making it either, is it?
No. Nope. See, most people don't understand what is the world's biggest lie on this planet. It is the Federal Reserve note dollar, because it's not money and it's almost in every country except the Arab country.
Yeah, it's just a piece of paper.
Yep.
Means nothing, has nothing, there's no backing. If you go down to your local bank and say, what's this worth? Can I have whatever this is worth? They'll take it, and what will they give you?
Yeah.
What will they give you for it?
Well, they'll give you another one.
They'll give you another one just like it, another piece of paper, a worthless piece of stinking paper.
That's right.
part of a tree.
I've heard of a rumor going out, and I haven't had time to verify it. Maybe you might know this. But the rumor is somewhere in the middle of this year, they're going to stop minting gold and silver coin.
I haven't heard that, and I wouldn't pay any attention to it even if they did, because it doesn't make any difference. They're not minting gold and silver coin as it is anyway, except as commemorative issues to sucker collectors into paying more for them than what they're worth.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to let you go, Bill.
Okay. Thanks for calling. That was very interesting, and I hope you're right. I hope it is exposed, and I hope we do come off of it, because it sucks, it stinks, and that's the way they steal almost everything from us. 520-333-4578. What's your prediction? Hello? Good evening, you're on the air.
Good evening, Mr. Cooper. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you too, my friend.
I got a prediction.
Yep.
I think that the stock market is going to remain in very depressed condition until probably at least the end of next year, and I'm hoping that it's going to induce more people to think about earning a living, not by trading and selling stuff that is more subject to public perception, but by going out and producing goods and services.
Well, that would be nice, but we all know human nature. If they think they can get something for nothing, that's what they're going to do.
I think
you're right. I think the stock market is in deep trouble. I forecasted before the election that the stock market would start to go down. Well, it didn't start to go down until just after the election occurred, but it's been going down ever since. And I think that's a reflection upon the reality of all of the bullshit and the lies and the deception of the Clinton administration, that just because Clinton said the economy was good that it was, you couldn't prove it by anybody anywhere within 150 miles of where I live. The economy has not been good here.
Okay, well, anyway, this is Ed Natto out in Connecticut. I got another one question for you. Are you going to be writing another book or in the process?
I'm in the process of writing two more books, one of which is almost finished.
Okay.
Actually, three more books. I'm writing a sequel to Behold a Pale Horse.
Yeah.
And at the same time, writing the third volume to what I consider to be that series. And at the same time, I'm writing a book on my experiences in Vietnam.
Oh, super. Tell us. Then when they come out and who's publishing them, okay?
Oh, I certainly will.
And I haven't got a computer, but I'm thinking of getting one just so I can look at your website.
Well, you ought to have a computer.
Well, actually, look, I got access to it because there's 18 computers where I work, and there's lots of guys that know that.
Let me tell you something. A computer should not scare anybody. Most people don't have a computer because they're afraid of it. They're afraid they're going to look dumb and they won't be able to use it. That's not true with computers today and the programs today. And I'm going to tell you something right now. If you don't get a computer, you're going to be lost, just like the people coming out of the Dark Ages were lost, who didn't know how to read and refused to buy books and didn't understand the importance of books when the first printing press came out and printed the Bible and all of the books that have followed since then. And that's the truth. This is the computer is... What I would call a paradigm. It's a shift in the entire way of thinking and the availability of knowledge and information. It is a tremendous, unbelievable point in history that if you don't jump on this bandwagon, you're going to be left behind. And you don't want to be left behind, I can assure you.
I hear you. Hey. Happy New Year again. Hang in there. We'll catch you down the road.
Same to you.
Thanks.
Thanks for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. But don't be fooled by the Internet. The Internet opens the world to you. You can sit in your home and talk to somebody in Japan. Literally. Instantaneously that you've never met before in your life. You can have access to the databases and the banks of information around the world that you could possibly, not possibly, ever have access to in your whole life without the computer and the Internet. You can also have access to some terrible information, to some despicable ideas, to some lies and disinformation, religious blasphemy, and all kinds of things. The whole world of the occult is on the Internet. So you have to be careful. You have to be discerning. And we all believe in freedom of speech. So we can't regulate it, and we don't want to. It's got to be there. Because if we tell them they can't say what they want to say and they can't have their websites, then, you know, somebody somewhere down the line is going to tell us we can't say what we want to say and we can't have our websites. That's what freedom is all about, ladies and gentlemen. And you have to understand that. If you don't understand it, then you're not an American. You don't believe in freedom. And if you don't believe in freedom, then I don't believe in you. 520-333-4578. What's your prediction for this coming year? Come on. Now, what do I have to do? Do I have to take a crowbar out there? Do I have to get a crowbar and go through the microphone here and pry you off your couch and put you, well, no, I have to, you know. Hey, this is New Year's. What am I doing in front of this microphone? I could be working on my books. I could be doing all kinds of things. I could be getting some rest, some much-needed rest, by the way. There's lots of things I could be doing. And I could be walking the perimeter with Crusher. He loves that. And I like it, too. It doesn't matter how cold it is. I love being with that dog. So why am I here waiting for a bunch of chicken pluckers to get off their duffs and call a program that they claim to support, but they don't want to be a part of? Well, I'm going to give it 30 seconds. And if I don't hear from somebody in 30 seconds, it's sayonara for the hour of the time tonight. And I'm going to shut down the broadcast and go find one of those other things to do. And by golly, I will do that. Done it many times before, and I'll do it again tonight. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening. How are you this evening?
What took you so long to call?
Well, the obvious predictions have been taken.
Well, there's lots of predictions.
I know there's lots of predictions, but those are the ones that most people think of. It's the Israel conflict and the stock market. And those are the two I had in mind, and I just want to take those just a little bit further.
Okay. If you want to add to them, go ahead.
Yes. I think because of the coalition or the agreement between all the Arab countries over there to retaliate against Israel, if, you know, they have to support each other.
Yeah. If Israel attacks one of them, they have all given their mutual assurances that they will all attack Israel.
Exactly. And I believe that if all of those countries attack Israel, and if Israel feels it's going to lose, they're going to use the nuclear weapon. And that's going to escalate into a world conflict, my opinion.
Well, if somebody drops an atomic bomb, you better bet your boots it's going to escalate into a world conflict.
And I believe Israel will do it if they feel that they're going to lose because they're being attacked by four or five Arab countries.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now that's one prediction. And in the stock market, I believe we're going to have a depression, and I believe it's going to happen this year. I believe the Dow is going to go down to about 8,000, and I'm quoting these numbers because this is what I predict, and I believe that the NASDAQ is going to drop down to 1,500 this year.
Okay, but that wouldn't be considered to be a depression. That would be considered to be a recession.
Well, it's going to go into a recession, which will be followed by a depression.
Well, do you know what a depression is?
Not having actually lived through it.
Well, then how can you predict a depression if you don't know what it is? You've got to know the definition of something before you can predict it. You're right about a recession. A depression is when there's no money.
Exactly.
There's no money to pay anybody. Even if you wanted to hire somebody, you couldn't hire them because you don't have any money to pay them. You can't get any money. There is no credit available. Even, you know, and even if somebody had any money, they're not loaning it. That's what a depression is. It's when there's no money.
And that's what's going to happen because there's going to be no jobs. There's so many bankruptcies now. Corporations going out of business.
You've got to understand that just because stock goes down in value does not mean the company goes out of business.
That's correct. They could.
See, what shut down businesses back in the Depression, which started in 1929, was blamed upon the stock market. But it wasn't the stock market that caused the depression. It was the Federal Reserve withholding the reserves from the banks so that they had to repossess property and put businesses out of business and take people and throw them out on the street out of their homes.
Well, what makes you think that won't happen again?
Well, it could happen any time, but it won't be. What I'm trying to tell you is it won't be because the stock market drops.
I understand. It's the money supply.
It will be because the Federal Reserve puts a stranglehold on the money supply. That's exactly right.
they have given...
And on credit. You have to understand, in this country, credit is the money supply.
Well, there is no credit anymore. I mean, we have plenty of credit.
Well, now, you're wrong, because you cannot put a dollar of circulation in this country unless it's loaned. In other words, to put a dollar in circulation in this country, Federal Reserve doesn't print up the money and then sprinkle it over a city. Somebody has to borrow that dollar before it goes into circulation.
Understand.
So
that.
The way that you decrease the money supply is you decrease credit. You put a stranglehold on the availability of credit and money. Nobody can borrow. Nobody can have any money. You tell the banks that they have to have more money on reserve than what they have. And to be able to do that, they have to call their loans and put people out of their homes and throw businesses out on the street and all that kind of stuff.
Hey, well, my idea is that's what's happening right now, is because Americans have no savings. They're tapped out as far as credit goes. They can't borrow any more money. And most of them who have homes have this 150% mortgage that they put the money in the stock market that they've lost. There's been over, in the past year, $4 trillion with a T, dollars lost in the stock market. And people just don't have the money anymore. And I believe that that's indicative that we're heading for a depression.
Well, I'll say recession, but we'll see if it's going to be a depression. If it's a depression, it has nothing to do with stock market whatsoever. It'll be completely and solely dependent upon the Federal Reserve choking up on the availability of credit and loans and raising interest rates and all that kind of stuff. But I thank you for your call, and you might be right.
You're welcome. Good night.
520-333-4578 is the number. Can you imagine somebody predicting a depression and they don't even know what it means? Oh, that's amazing. People have ideas about what something is, but if you ask them what it is, they can't define it. And that seems, you know, there's too much ignorance in this country. And folks, when I say you're ignorant, that's not an insult. It means you're without knowledge. But what is most disturbing about that is you don't even try to find out what it is. It would seem to me that you would ask yourself the definition of what a depression is before you would predict there's going to be a depression. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, sir, Mr. Cooper. I have a prediction.
Okay.
I have a prediction that the man in the White House, when he gets out, he will be pardoned by the next president.
By George Bush?
Yes, sir.
Boy, I think that'd be a hard pill to swallow for all the people who supported George Bush. But, you know, I'm not saying you're wrong, because I don't know.
Well, you wait and see. It will happen. I'm not surprised anything that happened anymore in America.
Well, you're pretty strong on that prediction, huh?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That's what I'm asking for, is your prediction, and I want to know how strong you think it is. Apparently, you think that that's really going to happen.
You got it.
Okay.
And you have a good evening.
You too. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Next year, January 1st, 2002, we'll find out how many of these predictions come true. I know there's at least a couple of them already are going to come true. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, my prediction concerning your belief in the or disbelief in the Apollo moonshot, I think that you'll change your mind during the coming year, or the alternative, I will change mine.
Okay, well, that's a good prediction.
All right. I never have understood this question. Why is it that the Federal Reserve didn't pump money into the economy during the Depression?
Because they wanted to create a depression.
Yeah.
Look, you see, it was manipulated. If the economy is left to its own devices, and if you have honest money, these things don't occur. It's only when it's manipulated. It's only when the thief is in the hen house that the hens begin to disappear.
Boy, that's another difficult thing to swallow, that that there was some sort of collusion to produce an economic disaster called the Depression.
Absolutely. Yeah. See, in order to steal your property, they had to get rid of real money. As long as real money is in circulation, they can't steal your property. Well, I know you don't understand that, but we will have future broadcasts that will explain that to those of you who don't understand it.
Okay,
see, right now you're using money that has no value whatsoever. And it's not money, because by definition, money must have an intrinsic value of its own.
Well, it's counterfeit. Just like any thief would turn on presses and print money when he needs it, I guess you could say the same thing about...
Well, in this country, the only real money is silver coin.
Mm-hmm.
Look in the law. Look in the Constitution.
What happened to gold?
Pardon?
What happened to gold?
Gold is a substitute for real money, but in this country, by law, a dollar is a specific weight and measurement of silver coin. Period. The Constitution gives the Congress the power to, quote, coin, end quote, money, not print paper.
Okay, very good.
So by definition, in the Constitution, which is the supreme law of the land, money must be coin. And by law, money is defined in this country as a specific weight of silver coin.
Well, very interesting. You're a storehouse of information. And
well, you can be, too, if you get off your duff and start looking things up instead of depending on somebody like me to tell you.
Well, I really enjoy your program and your kind of semi-hostile approach to making...
It's not hostile. It's not hostile. It's common sense. Your mother should have told you what I just told you. She didn't, and you should be pissed at her, not me. You should get off your duff, get your nose in the books, get your nose in the law, and find out who and what you are and who and what this country is. And don't get pissed at me if I tell you that's what you should do when your parents should have told you that and failed to do it and you're not angry with them at all.
Well, you're a grouchy old professor, but I like you.
All right. Sometimes you got to be a grouchy old professor because nobody pays any attention any other way. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, that's true, folks. You know, I could sit here and tell you how brilliant you are. You're the greatest people on the face of this earth. You're just wonderful. And every time you call, no matter what you say, I could pat you on the shoulder and say, oh, that's brilliant. That's wonderful. You're just the greatest. Oh, that's a wonderful thing. I'm so glad you called. And I'm so glad you said that. Bullshit. Bullshit. That's not my job. My job is to wake you up. Wake you up. That's my job. It's the whole purpose of this project. To wake you up. Not stroke you. Not change your diapers. Not kiss you on the cheek and protect you from all the evils of the world. It's to wake you up. Make you realize you're living in fantasy land. And that if you don't get out of fantasy land, the boogeyman will eat you! And maybe in this coming year, he will eat you. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
It's Bruce in Omaha.
Hi.
I predicted a couple of geeks this year working in a garage somewhere will start to unravel the secrets of Nikola Tesla on their own.
Well, I sure hope you're right about that. There's always rumors about that every year, but they all turn out to be some con men taking everybody for their money.
As far as that gentleman that called before, not understanding money, I just finished The Creature from Jekyll Island a month or so ago. An excellent book.
That's a good book, yeah.
Yes, indeed.
You know, most Americans don't understand money. They don't understand anything about the Federal Reserve. They don't understand anything about how the economy works. They don't understand what their phony Federal Reserve note really is. If they did, they'd stop using them altogether and they'd go back to a barter system or something like that.
I try to tell people that the thing's not really money and they just kind of look at me.
Oh, you know how to get it over real quick?
How's that?
Put $1 on the coffee table right next to a $100 bill and challenge them to tell you the difference between the two.
Right.
What is the difference between the two?
Well, they're paying and that's it.
There's two zeros added on the $100 piece of paper that's not on the $1 piece of paper.
That's it.
And that's the only difference between the two.
Well, I don't believe the back of that $100 bill has that all-seeing eye on it, does it?
No, it's only on the $1 bill.
I think it's only on the $1.
But what I'm talking about is value.
Right.
What makes one worth $1 and what makes the other one worth $100?
Because
they're both just pieces of paper. That's all they are. And if you take them to the bank and say, I want you to give me what the promise is on this note. See, it says it's a note. That's a lie. A note can be exchanged for something of value. It's a promise that a debt will be paid.
Yep.
If you take that note into a bank, see, it's not a dollar, it's a note. It's a promise that somebody's going to give you a dollar, but they won't. And that's why it says legal tender.
Yep.
You know why it says legal tender instead of we will pay you $1 in silver coin in exchange for this?
Why? fiat money is declared that it is legal.
That's right. It means that if you go and legally offer somebody that in exchange for their merchandise, and they accept it, they have agreed to accept that counterfeit dollar in place of a real dollar, which is a specific measurement of silver coin.
Andrew Griffin does a real good job in his book on that.
Yeah. God, makes me sick. I got to let you go. We're out of time.
Bye-bye, Bill.
Thanks for calling.
You too.
That was a good call. Good night, folks. God bless each and every single one of you. Amazing. I'm just absolutely amazed. Happy New Year. Good night, Annie, Pooh, and Allison. I love you.
All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, there's a loud knock on your door. Behind, something's not right.
Hold your arms. It's the law passed. We're here from the government. We're here to help you.
And I'm from the IRS with a power to tax. If you've got a complaint, pay us a back.
Get out of this house. Surrender your guns. Give me your gold. You better obey if you want to go home. Now produce that empty from your soul.
Hillary Shalala, Reno Janet Dyke, reading the words of General Albert Pike, demonic founder of the Ku Klux Klan, engineer of the Masonic Master Plan. Pike said Lucifer is God across this land, and put the same take the mark in your right hand. While we're all dancing to the drums of uproar's right, Clinton's preparing it for another huge tax hike. Order out of chaos, depression, inflation, create the panic and rape the nation. Order. Crisis creation. Incite black and white. Program agitation.
Don't resist! You're surrounded! By the UN in white and brown, the ATF, the men in black, from the One World Order.
But it's not new. Iron Mountain, computer beasts, and cattle mutilations. Black projects, UFOs, and weird genetic combinations. The Nazi doctors didn't die. Come on, get him. They came here with the OSS, your Operation Paperclip. National ID, debit card? Yeah.
Rudolph did make history. This was the story of an underdog who came through with flying colors and brought happiness to millions of children and grown-ups alike all over the world.